You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
And welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Ole Damgaard. Ole Damgaard, awarded the Prague Peace Prize and adopted by the Apache Nation, is an author, international speaker, former journalist, musician, artist, and investigator who has dedicated the last 35 years to researching many of the global conspiracies. Millions of viewers and listeners around the world have taken part of his interviews and presentations. His main focus has been to find out the truth about the assassinations of JFK, the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, John Lennon, and Lady Di, plus the terror attacks of 9/11, Norway, Oklahoma City, and many, many more. He has done some 500 to 1,000 international interviews with a total of several millions of views and is now considered a leading expert on false flag operations and is believed to have managed to expose and stop several planned massacres. He is an international Raja Yoga teacher and the author of four books. You can find out more on his website, www.lightonconspiracies.com. But let's welcome Ole to the show now and find out what he has to say today. Hi, Ole. How are you?
I'm super good. Thank you, Lance. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I love having you on the show, Ole. You always share such interesting material, and it's just fascinating to hear your point of view about the things that you're researching. So since we last spoke, what have you discovered since the last show we did?
I'm not really sure when that was, but it's sort of like an ongoing thing all the time where new things are being revealed. But lately, I think I really made a major breakthrough in a very, very important and interesting area.
Ah, wonderful. I'd love to hear that.
Okay. No, it's just like you said, I've been looking into false flag operations for many, many years. And everything from all of these alleged mass shootings to alleged terror attacks to many alleged major accidents and fires and you name it, so many things that are creating a lot of fear in the world today. And one of the things that I kept bumping into are shoes. It might sound really strange. Why would you even bother about shoes? But that's what I felt as well. But as soon as something happens, I download everything. I try to go on location. I collect every type of forensic evidence I can get hold of. Mm-hmm. And then I categorize and I have a super system with all kinds of folders. I got almost like 3 terabytes of perfect information about all kinds of conspiracies and so on. So over the years, I started having a folder called shoes, and I've just been adding these shoes and in a remarkable amount. And so after some years, I started asking myself, what's going on with the shoes? And I started pointing it out in many, many interviews. Here are the shoes again. And the thing is, it's not just shoes. It's like very often you have like an alleged mass shooting or terror attack or suicide bomber or something like that. And you have like carnage, you've got like destroyed cars, you've got maybe some victims lying around. And then there are these shoes. And they're sometimes a bit discreet, but very often right in the center of the image. Sometimes they can be like 1/4 of the image, and it's almost always Nike trainers or sandals, depending on what country we're in. But Nike trainers are like 99% of the time, if it's in a Western country, like Western Europe or the States and so on. It's Nike trainers, Nike trainers, Nike trainers. But they're just lying around in the street. They're lying around in the background. They're lying around here. They're lying around there. And so after I started pointing them out, one day I was contacted by a Freemason, an anonymous source. I don't know who he was. And he said that you're onto something here, but you have to understand that these are part of a ritual. They are sending out a message to people around the world who are in the know. And what it means is that the two shoes off means homage to the sacred space, because they see it as a ritual when they carry out one of these either real attacks or staged events. And he said one shoe off, that means that that individual is doing this ritual voluntarily. That's exactly the way it works in their rituals when they have all of these bizarre things going on behind closed doors. So I thought that was really interesting. As well, I also started to think that it was sort of like a business card that they left, a business card, just like during, for instance, Operation Phoenix in Vietnam, where there was this mass extinction of Viet Cong fighters. And very often they were terminated. I mean, they were killed, and then they left the card, the Spade of Ace, in the mouth of the victim or something, like a business card showing this is out. And so I had the impression that these shoes are also there as a business card, showing the people once again in the know around the world that this is our operation. Because it's a perfect way of showing, communicating without us normal people understanding it. And it's also a total, there's no paper trail, there are no emails that can be hijacked, there's no phone calls that can be tapped, nothing. It's just a shoe. But if you and I have sort of made an agreement that everything I do something bad, I'll just leave a shoe there. And so you can just sit there in the background with your big cigar on some fancy island somewhere and just, this is ours, that is ours, that is not, but there's another one. And also they use color codes. At the moment, the color codes that I'm become very aware of in the U.S., it's deep purple and orange. Orange is the color that has come more and more forward as an anti-gun agenda. Everything, there's something anti-guns. It's with an orange background. It's with orange body bags. It's with orange hair. It's with orange, orange, orange. It's just all over the place. You can see people being interviewed, and next to the person being interviewed, there's somebody standing in a very orange T-shirt. And this is, once again, I would suggest, a way of communicating without us understanding what's going on. And also you have the color deep purple. You have the purple revolution, the George Soros-sponsored purple revolution, which has been going on for a few years here. And many times, for instance, like in Charlottesville, the car attack there, there's just purple all over the place, at the funerals, at the clothes, T-shirt, witnesses, hair, dyed hair, all of these things, deep purple. But it goes in also to like Hillary, Bill Clinton, these type of individuals who, when they step forward, they have this color on them. And also, for instance, when I think it's almost like a communication system where if it's a purple operation, then the person, for instance, the mayor of the town where this shooting has taken place or alleged shooting has taken place, just to show that he's loyal to the cause, when he's doing the press conference, he will have a deep purple tie on. And so on. So you will see this deep purple repeatedly once you start becoming observant to it. It was we had a whole series of alleged revolutions here in North Africa, in Algeria, Egypt, and so on, some years ago. It was called the Arab Spring, and the color code there was green. It was green, everything green, 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 green. Then you had in the Ukraine, it was orange again. And here in Europe, most of the times when you see alleged terror attacks here, the color code is not deep purple, but it's more to sort of to the magenta that type of color. And it's, once again, everything from people in the background when there are these staged interviews with the very, very strong color, magenta, in the center of the image. Funerals, you have balloons, you have even the knife at the London bridge attack, the alleged London bridge attack. The knife itself was magenta. I mean, how could they even find a knife like that? And it's a crap knife, either. It's really good in the kitchen, but as soon as you just knock it, it's a ceramic one, so it breaks. But with that knife, they stabbed multiple people through the ribs. I mean, amazing how you can do that. And so they're the color codes and the shoes. So wow. I've been pointing out these shoes from in many, many, many interviews, almost to the point where it's almost like a joke, because, for instance, the Westminster Bridge attack in London, which I predicted 1 month before it happened on international radio, due to the fact that they leave clues in the forensic evidence of all of these attacks. This is very bizarre, and I had no idea about that either until late 2014, I was contacted by an anonymous source again who said, you're doing a great job, but you're missing out on the clues. And I was like, what clues? He said, the clues, they leave clues in the forensic evidence. And he said, the reason for that is because the way they interpret the law of karma is that if they tell us what they're up to and we do not react, then the bad karma comes on our shoulders. Huh. So it's very, very important for them to do that because they're up to so much mayhem. Oh, but yeah. At the same time, I've been informed by another, somebody who is an expert on karmic laws. I don't know if this is true or not, but what he said is, it's not even enough with that the bad karma comes on our shoulder, but they gain good karma if they're able to pull it off without us reacting. Jeepers, so it's like a double action. Yeah. So this is why you would think that it's totally stupid of them to leave clues in the forensic evidence, but it's for their gain. So at the same time, that is an absolute blessing to someone like myself, because once I started seeing, I couldn't believe it at first, but it was at the Charlie Hebdo attack early 2015. That was the first time I saw that, oh my God, it's actually true. And from then on, as soon as something happened, I'm looking for the clue. Where are the clues? Where are the clues? And it's thanks to myself finding these clues that I've been able to predict, I think it's 12 or 13 now, on international radio, up to 2 months before they happen, the more or less the exact location, not the time, but the location.
Right,
and
right.
I know that I've stopped at least two that could have been really ugly massacres, thanks to this with the clues, but also the skill that I sort of got along the way from being able to interpret their way of communication, because it is almost like a secret language they have, you know, with grammar and all of these things. It's the same like if you have to learn French or whatever. Yeah. It's not easy in the beginning, but after a while you start to get a bit of a hang of it. You start to get a feel for grammar and expressions and so on, and then suddenly, it starts flowing. And the same with their type of communication, because they are communicating not only to me but to other people in the know, their own members. So the better I become at interpreting this and decoding the clues, because sometimes they are really subtle, I tell you. But the better I've been at that, the more of them I've been able to predict. And I've got a newsletter on my website, lightonconspiracies.com. I've had that since 2012, I think. And in that, you can see when I predicted things, and then you can just check the official timeline of the different attacks, and you will see very often I'm one month ahead, and then boom, it happens. I'm going out officially, trying to pump out information about these clues to diffuse a possible attack. And many, many times I've been predicting it, and then boom, they pull it off anyway. But so this is sort of like the foundation of what I'm going to tell you about tonight.
Well, that's really fascinating. And of course, when you were telling me about the Nike shoes, I immediately had a thought that they don't do anything just for one reason. Usually there is a multi-layered set of reasons and outcomes that they are trying to produce. So it's not just done, these things aren't done just for one thing. They work on many different levels and also many different times. And so it occurred to me that on some level, that the Nike shoes were a form of advertising. I mean, that's how they do it in the movies. They put, you know, brand names in, and then, of course, the filmmakers get kickbacks from the people who are being advertised for cars and shoes and things like that. It's a huge business.
It is. It's called product placement, and this is also one of the things I've been pointing out for years as well. For instance, you got the London 7-7 bombings, where there were four different subway stations bombed, and then there was one bus blown up right outside the Tavistock Institute in London. If you know about the Tavistock Institute, that is a real interesting location where that blew up. And also, it's right outside the office of the Israeli company ICTS, which are the ones that are in charge of CCTV cameras in more or less all of the airports and so many different public spaces where these attacks have been carried out. Huh. Very suspicious company. And this bus was blown up right in front of it. I mean, like 10 yards in front of their office entrance. But coincidence, who knows? But on the side of the bus, it said, on one side, it said terror, pure brilliance. And then on the other side, there was like a big poster sort of glued to the side of the bus with what looked like an explosion. And right in the middle of the explosion was a Coca-Cola bottle. No text, no nothing. Because just like you say, these images are being spread in the millions around the world.
Yeah.
So this is where product placement comes in. They are making billions. And for instance, if you have ISIS, I mean, that is the dark forces, boogeyman, their own boogeyman. Otherwise, they couldn't carry out all of these things because they need somebody scary there so we freak out. Because fear is the aim of all of these operations, to control us. Mm-hmm. And ISIS is a construct from the U.S., Israel, and backing with Saudi, and so on. So it's a total, their own created enemy. But ISIS, I dare you, you find me a photo where there's a vehicle with connected to ISIS. If it's not a Toyota, I will almost chop off my right arm. It is Toyota, 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 Toyota.
Huh.
And so I said, I've said in many interviews, why don't we just put companies like Nike and Toyota up against the wall and say, listen, guys, Come on, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
If ISIS is what we're being told, I mean, that's the worst threat to humankind ever in modern times. How come they're always driving new Toyotas or old Toyotas and so on? And if so, even if they pay, don't you think out of loyalty to the rest of humankind that you should stop selling your cars to them?
Somebody
contacted Toyota and asked them about these things, and Toyota answered, according to this source, that they had not sold any cars to ISIS direct, but that the orders came from the U.S. State Department.
Figure. Interesting.
And also, ISIS, as far as I've been able to find out, for at least for a while, had their headquarters in Arizona. In a small industrial area, that's where they were having the buildings and everything. And when you look at many of the images of ISIS, there's nothing in the background that will tell you where they actually are. It's not that they're in front of churches or buildings. They're out in the desert. So I tell you, I think a lot of the photos we're shown with ISIS is taken in New Mexico, Arizona, these type of surroundings. There was even one pickup truck where they forgot the logo on the door of the driver, and it was a Texas oil company, almost worn down, but it was the logo of a Texas oil company. So the question is, was that car exported to Syria or one of these countries, or was the photo taken in the U.S.?
Right, right.
We're looking at PSYOPs here. That is the general code of all of this.
And of course, we know that many of the elite are at the very top of the oil companies. Even George Bush had an oil platform outside of California on the Mexico side, and the information that came out about it was that he was running cocaine off of that platform. So,
but I don't understand what you mean when you say even George Bush. I mean, George Bush is a major player, especially senior, a major. And he was the one that was started the whole crack epidemic in the States through the Iran-Contras scandal, where they flew out weapon that had they stolen from the National Guard, changed the parts in Mexico where the serial numbers of the weapons were. There was this little factory that made the parking meters, but they were also making this little part for the guns where the serial numbers were. So that was exchanged. Then the planes flown by people like my friend Chip Tatum were flown down to Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, and then exchanged for what Chip and some of the other pilots thought were, like blood plasma and medical supply. Turn out that it was raw cocaine. And the people that were behind this whole operation were Oliver North, it was called Operation The Enterprise, and George Bush Sr. with Bill Clinton and his partner Dan Lasseter. And it was through this, through MENA, Arkansas, this little airstrip outside MENA in Arkansas, and other minor, small little airports around, that the whole crack epidemic was started. And so George Bush, my God, he was also the paymaster for Operation 40 that was took a major part of the death squad for the killing of JFK, the killing of Robert Kennedy, the killing of Martin Luther King. They were deeply involved in that. And then people from this death squad called Group 40 or Operation 40 were then central in Operation Condor in South America. They were very central in a lot of military coups down there, as well as Operation Phoenix in Vietnam. So it's like it's the same. It just comes again and again and again, the same people.
Yes, and you hear Dick Cheney's name a lot, and also the person who made the announcement about 9/11, about the missing $3 trillion at the Pentagon the day before 9/11 occurred. And I can't remember his name, but he's also...
Rumsfeld.
That's it, Donald Rumsfeld, yes. He's said to be in charge of the Mars operation. There's a Mars base, according to many people, and some have been asked if they wanted to go there, certain select people. Laura Eisenhower is one of them. And he apparently was in charge of the time travel experiments that were done with Andrew Baggiago when he was a child, and his father was in the CIA. So they were doing time jumps, 40, 50 years ago, to Mars and other places, and Rumsfeld was in charge of that operation.
This is outside my area. I don't know, but
okay.
But I can tell you that these people that are now with white hair and so on,
yeah.
Where did they come from? They've had a long career in organized crime, and not talking about mafia. I'm talking about behind government cover. Extreme, super, super criminals.
Yes, so, absolutely. And, of course, you know that many of the people who were brought over here from Project Paperclip through the Nazi, when the Nazis were supposedly we won the war, those people were installed in high places by the CIA. And one of them was Wernher von Braun, who ran NASA until he died. And he, on his deathbed, he said that there was going to be a hoax pulled off. The last trick will be some kind of holographic projection that will be a space war, and it will be fake and, you know, designed to get us to buy that there are certain aliens that are good, the ones that they show us. And so there are people that are from Project Paperclip who were installed in high places, and then they worked their people into corporate government and science and research and all of that and big pharma. So there, the criminal element, according to our standards, is everywhere.
And it's so important. What you just said, Operation Paperclip, is crucial in the way this whole thing is set up, because NASA, I tell you, I don't know if I've ever heard anything true come out of that organization. And it's also built up, just like you say, there's a lot of Nazis that were part of that. And the NASA was started in 1947, same year as CDC, the Center for Disease Control, also with Nazi scientists. And this is the company in Atlanta, Georgia, where every time there's a virus scare, or, you know, the Zika virus or the Ebola or swine flu, or what, it comes from Atlanta, Georgia, CDC. So they even have on their website about zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe it? About zombies and how to protect yourself against zombie. It's like bizarre. But these are the institutions that we think are federal government type of things, there to tell us the truth and so on. Absolutely not.
No. They seed that information into the consciousness or the subconsciousness of humanity, and that's the way that they get us to unconsciously agree to what they're doing. If it's in a movie, a science fiction movie or something that doesn't appear to be harmful, we just don't give it a second thought. But many of the movies are created to seed ideas into the collective consciousness of humanity, in preparation for their plans. And they have multiple plans, and they can draw, you know, change direction at the drop of a hat.
And this is where the shoe comes in again. Because, I mean, who would ever have thought that a shoe had any meaning? And that is also the secret of this whole thing, that it's so discreet. It's just an ordinary item. And so I was doing an interview together with a CIA whistleblower, a fantastic human being. I see him as my brother. His name is Cody Snodgrass.
Oh, yeah.
Cody Golden Elk Snodgrass. Super, super interesting individual who was a private black op contractor for more than 20 years under the CIA. Part of many, many black ops that we are not aware of, involved in incredible different areas, you know. So his knowledge is amazing, absolutely amazing. And we were doing a show, and I started talking about the shoes and the shoes and the shoes and the shoes. And then he said, oh, my God, now when you talk about it like that, he said that in MK Ultra, when they break down individuals to be used as assets, anything from patsies to whatever they need them for, what they do is they break down the individual. They crush the personality through trauma in the form of rape or sexual abuse or torture, you name it, anything that would just break down this person, because the aim is to split the personality. Because when the pain is too much for us, somehow the mind of the body just splits into another one to get away from the pain. I think it's just like when you see a cell that splits itself. It's the same with the personality. It just splits itself. And so what they do is, to be able to control this other personality, is they need a trigger. So very often when these people are being traumatized repeatedly, a trigger like a symbol or a word or something is being kept being repeated in front of this individual, just like in Clockwork Orange, you know, like where the eyes are open, they're forced open, and they keep showing images, the same images, while they go through all this pain. And so Cody said that what he thinks these shoes are doing, and I totally think we're onto something massive here, is that ever since the Holocaust, where the shoe was the symbol of mass death, we have all of these big mountains of shoes from alleged death camps after the Holocaust, where the shoes show us these murdered people, the people we are told were murdered there, and so on. So the shoe became a symbol of death there.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
The Hebrew name of the Holocaust is Shua.
Huh.
And when you look at, so many wars, like the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Six-Day War, the Balkan War, the shoes are there in many different photos in the background or in the foreground, so that you see mayhem, destruction, blood, carnage, and then a shoe. And
right.
So what Cody suggests, and I think that is so true, is that they have done this very deliberately, because if you keep repeating it over and over and
yeah.
over and over with all of these mass shootings, with alleged mass shootings, terror attacks, and so on, and every time there's something happening, the shoe is there. And Cody says the mind reacts, it tries to avoid, avoids like blood and awful things. So the eye just tries to find something comforting, and there's the shoe. It's something you recognize. It's something that is not dangerous. So the eye automatically goes away from the blood to something familiar, the shoe, and then boom, it gets triggered there. So it's like a double trigger. At the same time as you have the news reporter talking, where they use trigger words like terror attack, Muslim,
right.
Islam, Islamic
right.
terrorism, ISIS, you know, these ones as trigger, together with the visual things. So these shoes, I have been looking a lot for shoes, and I have found shoes in incredible places. So I would like to, if I can tell you just some countries where I find more or less identical images. It's like you look about from gang rape or mass shootings or disappeared people or domestic violence. The images used in articles and TV news and so on are very often something shoes. Like if it's like illegal immigrants, it can be in the desert with a pair of sandals, or a disappearing person, you'll see there's a pair of shoes standing next to a road, or it's just the shoes and something else, but the shoes. So I have been looking around for years at very similar things, and the countries where I found shoe images, almost identical shoe images, are Australia, Canada, Bangladesh, Denmark, Sweden, the Philippines, Finland, Belgium, Pakistan, Panama, Mexico, Bolivia, Colombia, the USA, England, Ireland, the Netherlands, Spain, Italy, Yemen, Somalia, Kenya, Tunisia, Libya, Syria, Iraq, Iran, India, Thailand, Nepal, Palestine, Indonesia, Turkey, Israel, Egypt, Lebanon, South Africa, Nigeria, France, Norway, Ukraine, Russia, Korea, Vietnam, Hungary, Serbia, New Zealand, Cambodia, Rwanda, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Cuba, Cameroon, Chad, Sudan, Algeria, Bosnia, Argentina, Brazil, Romania, Sri Lanka, Switzerland, Germany, Malawi, Macedonia, Albania, Serbia, Jordania, Jordan, Poland, Kurdistan, Japan, China, Mozambique, Laos, Uganda, Nigeria, Argentina, and Peru.
Wow.
Wouldn't you say that this is quite a lot of shoes that have been spread around? And please keep in mind, would ISIS be able to control the editors of the New York Times, the BBC, the Times in London, the Washington Post, the Time magazine, would they be able to control what images would be used by CNN or you name it?
Yeah.
Or they would not.
Right.
They would not.
Right.
So we're looking at somebody totally different. And like I used to work as a journalist. And for instance, if I came, let's say a bank robbery had taken place. If I was sent there as a reporter and I was also a photographer, if I came home with a photo of a shoe in front of the bank, I mean, I would get my butt kicked. I would get my butt fired because that means nothing. We wanted about the bank robbery. Why didn't you get photos of the bank robbery?
Right.
But so why on earth are they using the shoe? It's because there's a hidden agenda here. So if I can take another list, if please have patience with me here.
Okay.
The different alleged shootings or terror attacks where I found more or less identical shoe images are the Orlando Pulse shooting, Charlie Hebdo, the Bataclan massacre in France, the Copenhagen shootings, Denmark, Sandy, London 7/7 bombings, the Parkland, Florida attack, the Las Vegas massacre, the London Westminster Bridge attack, the London Bridge attack, the New Jersey Art Festival shooting, very recent, the Columbine mass shooting, the Boston Marathon bombing, where the Nike shoe is the symbol for the whole thing, the Stockholm truck attack, the Nice truck attack, the Melbourne car attacks, there were two of them, the Port Arthur massacre in Australia, Jade Helm 15, right in the center of the logo of Jade Helm is a shoe. The Manhattan truck attack, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Queen's Day massacre in Holland, the shoe bomber, the Charlotte car attack, the Brussels airport attack, the Toronto van attack, the Santa Fe High School shooting, the Münster van attack in Germany, the Times Square car attack, the sinking of Titanic, the Utrecht shooting in Norway, the Barcelona van attack in Spain, the Texas church shooting, where they even have a boot on the cross in the church. I mean, what? The Chelsea bombing, the Balkan War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Six-Day War, 9/11, and so on.
Well,
very similar images.
Ole, can I ask you a question?
Please do.
Now, these shoes that are found there at these various PSYOPs, do they match any of the people that are either killed or injured in the PSYOP? In other words, are there people that actually have no shoes and these shoes have been matched up to the people, or are they just extra in addition to the people who have shoes on already?
It's a really good question, and most of the time they do not match up. But sometimes, it's like, for instance, you had the Westminster Bridge attack where it said there's one car that drove up on the pavement and killed five people on the pavement, then crashed into the parliament, and where the guy jumped out, an Islamic terrorist, and stabbed a police officer to death there. So you have, for instance, there was one woman that is said to have been killed. She's lying halfway in under a bus without both her shoes. The whole body looks like a dummy. Then you have a woman who is giving mouth-to-mouth to a person in the street. But before she tried to save his life, she took off his shoes and put them very neatly on the pavement. So they're right in the center of multiple photos. Even with the shoelaces, everything arranged very neatly. Then you have the police officers that are said to have been stabbed. What they did was, when they tried to save him, was take off his shoes. And then there are these photos where they hold off his bare feet like a holy relic. You know, it's almost like a religious painting. You can almost hear the angel choir in the background holding them up, even though it said that he was stabbed in the neck. So, I mean, what on earth are they holding them up there? Then one man who is said to have tried to save this police officer, he lost his shoes while trying to save the life of this police officer, as you do. And then the very next morning, he was invited to British Morning TV. And so he came to the studio bare feet.
Without
shoes.
Wow.
And in the studio, I got the interview, in the studio, they keep talking about his shoes. Why? And I would say, first time on national TV, I lost my shoes. Well, put on another pair. Is that too much to ask? Or have socks on, or sandals, or no?
Yeah.
The shoes are there because it's there to, the whole idea is to keep people terrified. And it's also what Cody says, the shoe is so perfect as well, because for one thing, there's no blowback. Even if we start pointing out shoes, the people behind these operations will just say, oh, come on, they're just shoes. And but it's also every morning when you get out of bed, one of the first thing you do is put on the shoes that will then trigger you back into an anxious mode. Then you put on the morning news, terror attack, terror, 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 and you're back. You're back in this traumatic state where you can be more easily controlled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what I've done also, I've done a list of the different topics where there are shoe images, identical shoe images. It's not just, I mean, I have, if this was a filmed interview, I could show you hundreds of images. You would just see the same photo, more or less. And so it's not only mass shootings or alleged terror attacks, but there are all of these ones as well. So please bear with me.
Sure.
You can do it yourself. You just put in the search word in Google Images and you will find these images yourself. So I tried many different, and these are some of them, the ones I found. Gang rape, mass immigration, organized crime, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Maria, missing people, human trafficking, genocide, ISIS, alleged murders, AIDS, chemtrails, nuclear disaster, drive-by shootings, suicide bombers, alleged drownings, vaccinations, recruiting foster carers, poverty, domestic violence, serial killers, the Ebola virus, ADHD, autism, gun control, climate change, global warming, Al-Qaeda, boat refugees, conspiracy theories, there you go, terrorism, military coups, Pizzagate, random accidents, car crashes, train derailments, anti-Trump, airplane crashes, FEMA camps, drone strikes, war on terror, martial law, organ harvesting, sexual child abuse, police brutality, nightclub fires, detention centers for children, train accidents, motorcycle accidents, stampedes, sarin gas attacks, theft, anthrax attacks, dangerous bacteria, robbery, biosecurity, and the terror organization, alleged terror organization, Black September, and the Baader-Meinhof gang, and the Intifada. All of them with more or less identical images where the shoe is the main thing, or the shoe is very, very central. So,
whoa.
If the thing that connects all of these things is that it's fear. Fear, it raises fear. All of these things raises fear.
Yes.
And it's connected to indirect death, you know. So all, and this is where I tell you, the longer I live, the more I doubt what I read in mainstream media. It's just not true.
Absolutely.
So many of these things where we're being told that this happened or that happened, it's absolutely not true. And yesterday, there was an alleged suicide bomber in Syria. Okay, what is the image we're being shown? It's a car that looks like it's banged up, and there's a lot of fruit in the street, and then you got shoes, just shoes spread around in the middle of this fruit.
So what kind of shoes?
There's no. Sorry?
What kind of shoes?
It's trainers, but when it's in Arab countries or Middle Eastern countries, it's very often sandals.
Oh, okay.
So, but here, trainers and sandals. But it's like you have to ask yourself, or I'm trying to figure out, because there's one option is that photographers around the world have been told, this is the type of image we want from different events. Whatever happens, just we want an additional photo of some shoes in the foreground. You would get extra pay.
Right.
That is one option. Because then we have sort of that they piggyback on a real event. Many times the photographers come from Associated Press or Reuters, both of them Rothschild owned. So
right.
That is one option. That is one option. That option two is that so many of these things are staged events or doesn't even happen in real life, and where the image, the imagery is the main, that's the important thing, because that is what is spread globally, creating more fear. So that we, it's the old Roman template, problem, reaction, solution. There's a massive problem to create the reaction from us. Oh my God, we need protection, we need protection. And in comes the solution. And it's all the time more and more control, more and more surveillance, more and more military police, more and more, you name it, FEMA camps, all for our protection. It's the same solution every time.
Oh, absolutely. Look at all the cameras that they're putting up in London and in Europe. They have cameras out in the country. Every mile or two is a camera. And talk about surveillance. And then now here in the States, we have cameras at all the stoplights so that they can catch people if they run the light or if they're going too fast and so on and so forth. They take a picture of your license plate, and you get a ticket automatically. So we're rapidly heading into the brave new world, and if not, we're already in it.
Yeah. And so there's another option is that, would a normal photographer be allowed inside a cornered off crime site? He would not.
No.
And these shoes are spread around inside, sometimes lying outside the cordon off area, like at the Toronto van attack. There were shoes all over the place lying in the street. So it cannot be only that the photographer is bringing his own shoes and placing it there. It is often in the crime scene itself.
Uh-huh.
So then it's part of the operation as well, because then we're looking at a multi-layered psyop where the shoe is there to trigger. But there is, at the moment, it feels like there's a transition going on here, because I believe that since I and other people have started pointing out these shoes, they are in an understanding that they will not be able to use them for so much longer. So it seems like they now started to use both shoes and bicycles, and the bicycle there as another trigger, because if they can just repeat that with a bicycle, in the background, fallen over or whatever, also another discrete day-to-day item that we wouldn't react to, then they can, in the end, they can just get rid of the shoe and just keep the bicycles there.
Right.
So now, for instance, we have this cave incident that happened in Thailand, that is said to have happened in Thailand. The soccer team, have you heard about that in the States?
No, I haven't.
The children that I'm sure you have, and it's, I'm sure it's in the news in the U.S. as well. But there was this 12 kids, and their leader took their bicycles and went to this cave that everybody fear, according to the people I've spoken to in that area of Thailand. And they went down into these very, very deep caves, and then the rain started, and so they were flooded, and they were stuck down there for several days, and they were all of this whole thing, they sent down scuba divers and specialists and all of that, and bringing them out in the end, very dramatic. And what were some of the photos from outside the cave was of the shoes, Nike shoes, not normal Nike trainers. It was soccer shoes, because it was a soccer world championship at the same time.
Huh.
And if you ever try to run a bicycle with one of these shoes on, you will know that it's the worst thing to choose.
Huh.
So why? Once again, this psyop is ongoing. And in the background, bicycles. And also the color code was there, also the purple color code. And some of the people in the rescue team had a logo on with a pyramid with the all-seeing eye. But Lance, I tell you, I think I'm onto something else here, because we were talking about product placement before,
uh-huh.
And one of the one of the things they use in Hollywood is this thing based on a true story.
Right.
And what does that mean? It means more or less that, well, once upon a time there were two people and then something happened. And they can say, well, then they, after that, Hollywood can just take over and make whatever they want out of that basic story. But it's good for ticket sales if it's based on a true story, the same for books and so on. So I believe that we're seeing here something new appear on the arena. As far as I know, it started with the movie 317 to Paris, or 1517 to Paris, which was a train. It was an alleged terror attack or planned terror attack on a French train, where in one of these train wagons, there was this Muslim terrorist who was going to kill a lot of people. So he went into the toilet and was going to load his Kalashnikov so that he could go out and do some mass killing. But he couldn't get it working. So he was sitting swearing in Arabic in the toilet. And then it was amazing. You know, the luck is just incredible, because there were four U.S. Marines in the same car. And so these four U.S. Marines heard the Arab mumbling down, and that's the sound from the weapon. So they jumped the guy when he came out. I mean, how lucky is that? And one of them got wounded, very dramatic, and all of it inside one train car, one of these wagons, meaning that you got a totally controlled area where, I mean, you can just say whatever happened in there if you are in control of these people. In my opinion, 100% crisis actors, 100% stage event, 100% absolute BS, that event, as so many others. But what happened now is that Clint Eastwood have made this film. I think it's in the cinema at the moment, called 1517 to Paris.
Huh.
And what he's using are the crisis actors that were playing the U.S. Marines as playing themselves as real people in the movie.
Oh.
Can you see it? It's okay. That is strange, to say the least.
Yeah.
When you make a movie of a fake event, you make it real, and you use the people in the fake event as the real people in the movie.
Wow.
Do you follow me?
Yeah.
So we have that one. Then this whole thing in Thailand, the reporters that were there, I mean, we have a cave. So once again, it's a location that is very easily controlled,
right?
Because the only thing you need to control is the entrance to the cave. Then you can say whatever from the inside. You know, this
right.
is happening, that is happening. You know, you don't see any photos of the kids. They all got masks on. They don't give any comments that they're not being into you. You can make up whatever fantasy you want.
Right.
And while this whole thing was ongoing, and these images, among others, of the shoes were being spread all over, the reporters kept saying, this is like a blockbuster movie. Somebody should make a movie about this. This is incredible. It's got all the ingredients of a Hollywood film. I tell you, I think that is a staged event where they make sure to have all the ingredients in it,
yeah.
so that they can make a based on a true story,
yes,
with
yes.
everything, and make a blockbuster movie.
Absolutely.
Earning millions.
Well, that would be killing several birds with one stone, wouldn't it?
Which is what they do. And so, let's get back to the shoes again. We have Ellen DeGeneres, you know this show
yes.
host, comedian.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, really nice person, very funny and so on.
Oh,
Clint
yeah.
Eastwood, love the guy. But, I mean, you have to look at what's going on here. So she was very central after the mass shooting in Las Vegas, where she had her own, cash machines, you know, where you pull the arm. We call it one-arm bandit.
Slot machine?
Slot machines, yeah. She had her own brand there. She had just got it released on the Mandalay Bay Hotel where this happened. I believe it was that hotel or the neighboring hotel, but she had just been in Las Vegas, and the whole thing got boosted. Her sort of investment in Las Vegas got boosted thanks to this mass shooting.
Oh.
And also she was the one the only one that was allowed to interview the security guard that tried to jump and take the gun from Stephen Paddock. But Stephen Paddock is said to have shot 200 shots down the corridor, missing all of it. He hit him once in the leg. No bullet holes, no windows shot out, but 200 shots down the corridor. And Ellen was the only one that were allowed to interview this security guard. Turned out that the security guard had been employed the very day before by the highest boss of Mandalay Bay Hotel. No background as a security officer, nothing. He doesn't look the same in the different photos of him. He's gained a lot of weight just in a week. And then he disappears down to Mexico. He just disappears. Oh. And when he's being interviewed by Ellen, she's totally guiding him, holding up, you know, like a layout of the hotel, pointing out to him what he had been doing. And he sort of like more or less said yes and no. So I think that didn't sound too good. It felt to me like she was very much controlling the interview. Ellen then appears again with Clint Eastwood as a guest. Okay, and I mean, nothing unusual with that. I mean, they work in the same city and so on. And when Clint is being interviewed, he puts his trainers on the table. I mean, how often have you seen that in a TV studio? He just leans back in the sofa and puts up his gray trainers on the table, very visible. I mean, this is a guy in his 70s. Have you ever seen anyone do that? But here he is putting up the trainers. So they're right in the center of the image during half of the interview.
Wow. So are those
he looks... I don't know, but he looks like a spoiled teenager. And I mean, that is not like him at all. So why is he doing it? And then Tom Hanks is, if you check out Tom Hanks' Twitter page now, you can go into it right now and just check out. It's loaded with photos, identical photos of shoes lying in different locations. Just a single shoe. Just a single shoe, just a single shoe, just a single shoe, just a single shoe.
Bizarre.
And he's also now being accused by a woman to have been, sexually abused.
Right.
Very much like that. And also he's the actor of The Red Shoe, which is about him wearing one red shoe when he was very young. And it's
interesting.
And then, please interrupt me. I'm rambling on here, Lance.
Well, no, this is really interesting because it's making all kinds of connections.
It is. You know, you have the Las Vegas mass shooting. What was the symbol of the Las Vegas mass shooting? It was a boot, and it was called the Shoe of Hope. And this boot was found in the street, and with the American flag painted on it.
Oh, my.
The police officer that was said to have been killed there in Las Vegas, the mass shooting, he actually came from San Bernardino, where there's been several very, very badly pulled off false flag operation there from in that exact police district where he is said to come from. So he just happened to be there. I don't know if that's a connection or not. But when he was buried, On his coffin were a pair of boots. You had the New York Times when they the photo that they choose to show the massacre in Las Vegas, it was one trainer and a puddle of blood. You have all kinds of alleged drive-by shootings, shootings in Queens outside nightclubs, and so on. The only image is of a trainer. A Nike trainer. There's nothing else. It's just a photo of the shoe. And they're being used in so many areas. There's a whole wave of knife stabbing, alleged knife stabbing in the UK. They're up to, 72 or something like that. It's even that Trump has used it in the whole thing, anti-war and also anti-gun debate and so
propaganda.
On. I tell you. Yeah, I don't believe any of them. Every single time there is one of these, there's no evidence whatever. There's a cordon off area and there's a few shoes lying around.
Wow.
And yesterday, it's my birthday soon, and we're going to Ceuta, which is a small little Spanish colony in North Africa. I live in the south of Spain, so it's just like just across the Mediterranean. And we're being told that outside these little colonies, there's like one called Ceuta and one Melilla in North Africa, very close to here, like 30 miles on the other side of the water, on the coastline. And it's said that there are all of these African immigrants that are trying to get into Europe, and that they're jumping on boats, they're drowning on the way here, that, you know, people are getting killed. You see it in the news. I lived in this area for 18 years now. I've never seen a boat. I've never seen a refugee. I've never seen a dead body. I've never seen anything of that. But still the media is saying, no, it's happening here. And then yesterday, they said that there were more than 700 of these illegal immigrants that jumped the barbed fence, the barbed wire and stuff like that. They used a flamethrower, it said, and there was all of this riots going on there. No photos whatsoever. There's one photo of some people on the fence. That's it. And then there are other photos where you see these Africans, but it's like half of them are sitting, leaning back, and it seems like the other ones, they might as well be dancing. And then you got like somebody in a uniform. And the background is very green, like a jungle type of area, which is not the way it is here. So I don't think these photos are from there. I don't know. But then the filmed sequence that has been spread in Spanish news here, filmed by Guardia Civil, which is the police, what is it? It's about like maybe 20 yards of shoes, clothes, and bags. And they say 700 people broke through here. They used a flamethrower, and you didn't get any photos whatsoever. There's nothing, nothing. And before they jumped this barbed wire thing, they took off their shoes. Really? Is that the first thing you take off when you try to make a dramatic escape?
No. Are you kidding?
Wouldn't you put on like double pair of shoes and double pair of trousers so you wouldn't be cut or something?
Absolutely.
It doesn't match up. And so we're going there to Ceuta on Monday. And I tell you, I would be very, very, very surprised if anyone living there have seen anything or have seen any flamethrower or 700 immigrants. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I don't know. But until Monday, I do not believe it at all, because it's part of the PSYOP. It's a NATO, U.S. military operation,
working
for the New World Order with the agenda of keeping us in absolute terror and fear at all times, according to the strategy of tension, the CIA's old strategy to inflict fear in modern society, random violence that can happen to anyone, anytime, so that we will beg for protection and just bend over and say, please control me even more. Please bring on tanks in the streets, more weapons to the police and so on. And please, while you're at it, just shut down schools and homes for elderly. We totally understand that you need all the money for all this high-tech crap equipment to control crime.
Yep, exactly.
But
and then full surveillance. We're moving into a totally surveilled society, and with the 5G network, which is said to be the nail in the coffin for humanity, that is one thing that will connect all your devices, and they will all be able to hear, see, and know what you're doing, and it will all be touted as a great time saver and a wonderful thing. And that will just be the last straw, really, because it's extremely dangerous. And I've had many guests talk about it on here on the show, so that's something to look into for anybody that doesn't know about it. You know, all these things are interconnected.
Yeah. And there, what is also really interesting, I think, in the area where I'm focusing is all of these vehicle attacks. Because if you look at, there's been so many from the Nice attack to the Manhattan car attack, the Manhattan van attack, the Melbourne car van attack, the Toronto van attack, and so on. So many vehicle attacks. Why? Problem, reaction, solution. What is the problem here? Well, apparently it must be the vehicles. So what is the solution? And you will see every single time when there's been one of these vehicle attacks, it is followed by a propaganda push for autonomous vehicles, driverless vehicles.
Yep.
And these that's buses, trains, trucks, and cars. And also these bollards, these steel bollards that just gets built everywhere, once again, for our protection in city centers and so on. But if you notice, they look a lot like a jail, just that these bars are not so high, but they can very easily become higher. And so they're building this prison around us for our security. And then with the smart cars, the smart cars are the next step into the smart cities where the 5G grid is in full bloom.
Uh-huh.
And once that's in place, then it is a tricky one for us to get out of. So that is why they use all of these vehicles. You have even the Times Square car attack, if you remember that one. The car even landed on top of the bollard so that they combined the photos, both of the car, the crash car, on top of the bollard, so that they had the bollard there as well, because thank God the car didn't get any further than that. So the bollards keep appearing also in the background now, more and more featuring there.
Huh. Interesting. Very interesting. Well, you know, one of the other things that you have made a point about in past shows that you've done here is that at those sites, at the various sites that these events happen, when you've checked into people who have just supposedly accidentally been there, per chance, that some of them happen to be with the Mossad or the CIA or their professional photographers or newspaper people, and you know, if you had the resources to do the research on everybody that was at one of these things, I'm sure that you'd find quite a few people who were would show that it was no accident that they were there.
Totally, that is what I'm doing a lot of the time.
Right,
and,
right.
And I don't have any resources. I'm not funded by anyone. I'm just a normal individual trying to stop this madness with a small little wonderful team around me who's backing me and helping me with my website and so on. So anyone who would like to support me in what I'm trying to do, please, finances is a constant problem. So on my website, lightonconspiracies.com, it's plural, lightonconspiracies.com, there are donation buttons, my newsletter, my membership area. I've got multiple books on Amazon and so on. So any type of support is extremely appreciated.
Yes, absolutely. You know, everybody should be supporting your work because it's so crucial, and you're just about the only person that I know, and I've been doing this for 12 years, that has the expertise and the ability to stand back and look at this from a very large point of view, and also to not be judgmental. One of the things that I like about your presentations is that you are not pointing fingers, you're not angry, you're simply calmly presenting what you have discovered, and you let people come to their own conclusions. And I think that's the best way to present information to people that you can get. As you said, the mainstream media is all taken over, and that's all propaganda. I mean, there's just nothing there that I don't watch it anyway. So we have to rely on individuals like yourself who are painstakingly doing real, legitimate research. And so it's important to support your work, and I encourage everybody to go to Ole's site and help him continue to bring us these reports so that we can find out what's really going on.
Well, I sure appreciate it, because they are the forces behind these things. Someone like myself is a major pain in the butt to them, and they would very much like to terminate me in one way or the other. So it's a tricky one. It is a tricky one, and especially the finances. Also because, like, what I try to do is go on location when something has happened or before it happens to try and get there and expose what is going on while it's ongoing, because you have the official story. That's one thing when you watch it on TV or you see it on YouTube. But once you're on location, it's a totally different impression you get, because so often what looks like a big area, you know, with wide angle and from a TV camera point of view, when you're there, it's like, oh my God, it's only from here to there, and so easily controlled. This is where the drills come in, where the drills are so important for these operations, so that these drills will normally be announced on local radio, TV, whatever, that tomorrow we're going to do a mass shooting drill here for your protection, whatever. These drills are sometimes there to protect you, other times they are to set up a false flag. And it will look like a film set, because that is exactly what it is.
Right.
You know, and they need the drill to be able to get us out of the way, to close off certain areas, certain streets, get the vehicles in positions, explosives in positions, smoke bombs, crisis actors, directors, catering, makeup facilities, all of these things needs to get in position. And they also need to rehearse, you know, so they will go through the upcoming terror attack multiple times. I also believe that it is during the drill that many times much of the footage we are shown as being told us, and this is live footage right from the location. Well, when you compare the footage that are being sent from a location, like, please check out the sky, clouds, the shadows, and you will see often it's a mix, you know, like, okay, there's a big cloud there, and then they cut to another angle, and suddenly the cloud is gone. Why? Because it was filmed on a different day at the drill. It's also during the drill where these high-quality HD photos are taken, these photos that are then spread, you know, the face of terror, a new prize-winning image of terror being spread in all of these big newspapers, because they need high quality super photos. And many of the times, if something real happened, a photographer is nowhere near to be found. So, you know, so they need to have these good ones ready on standby. And it's also during the drill where what I call the catwalk of terror, you know, there's always somebody that seems like a civilian walking around with a cell phone filming victims, or actually what he's filming is the back of people, normal people, helping the alleged victims. But these filmed sequences are so blurred. It's like an old German porn movie from on a VHS cassette from the 70s, you know, like you can hardly see what's on it. It's so blurred. You have to add like special filters to get that bad quality, but it's there to give us the impression that, oh, it's just a normal person was walking around. Oh my God, it's so horrible. No, it's part of the whole thing. So the drills are super, super important. And it is also where I try to advise people to, when there is a drill in your neighborhood, please go there the day or the days before and when the drill takes place, and film them. Film the people setting it up. Make it very obvious to these people that they are being filmed, that they are being observed, and so on. Don't go there alone. Be a group of people and so on, and film them, because these operations can only be carried out in the dark. It is only behind curtains that they can, a veil of disguise, deception, that they can pull these things off. As soon as we aim the light at them and say, listen, we see you. Now stop with this nonsense. Get some kind of life and get the hell out of here. Leave us alone.
Right, you know? Right. Well, Ole, I think we are just about to, we probably have run over, actually, which is fine. But I want to thank you for being on the show and bringing all this to light. And, of course, your website is lightonconspiracies.com. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I definitely want to keep in touch with you so that we can continue to find out the latest information. I think you're really onto something here, and you're one of the few people that has the heart and the intelligence to do this kind of thing. So it's much appreciated, and of course, people are encouraged to help to donate to your website because you work by contributions, and I know that must be very expensive to go to sites and do the research that you do. So we need to empower you to do that. So
that's very kind of you. Lance, I would also very much like to come on your show with Cody Snodgrass, the CIA whistleblower.
Yes.
Because he is amazing. And I think we work really good as a team, you know, because he knows so much I don't know. I know so much he doesn't know. So it really works well together.
That would be wonderful.
Lance, would it be
And we
yeah,
can do a two-hour
let's book
special.
A date.
Go ahead.
would it be possible if I end with a prayer?
Oh, of course. I love that. I think that's wonderful. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not a religious person, but I am a spiritual being, and here we go. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May the light of truth overcome all darkness, so victory to that light.
Well, beautiful, Ole. As always, it's a wonderful show, and it's great talking to you. And I wish you very good luck in your research, and I'm sure you'll have plenty to tell us the next time. We'll communicate privately about getting Corey on, and if you like, we can do a two-hour special.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because with the two of you on there, I think we need more than 1 hour to really doing. So thank you for being here with us, and have a wonderful day, and happy birthday, Ole.
Thank you so much.
Right. Thanks again, and good night, everybody.